Stephen Scott and Sean Priest with you here. And also here is John Melville from our very own AMI Media. Hi, John.
Good afternoon. Good to be with you.
Now, you did a really interesting talk on audio description, one of my favorite things at the moment. I can't watch any programs. Sean's the same. We can't watch programs without audio description. But you're doing something really interesting. I mean, in a lot of ways, you're leading the way on the charge for audio description and making sure that it's available, but trying out some new things as well.
Yes, well, Accessible Media, or AMI as we're called for short, is very fortunate that we have the opportunity through a funding formula in Canada to be able to create audio description. It's actually part of our license conditions. Just briefly, the channel is licensed by the Broadcasting Act to provide what is considered an exceptional service to people who are blind and partially sighted. And as a result, a fee from all of the cable subscribers in Canada is collected by the cable companies, and that provides us with an operating budget. Along with that are conditions that include that we have to create 500 hours every year of new original description on the various shows that we acquire. So the channel has all different kinds of shows, dramas, comedies. I mentioned yesterday about live sports. So we're getting into a lot of different things. We also produce our own original programs. And when we produce an original program, that gives us the opportunity to target the content to the blind and partially sighted community. So we're not necessarily doing programs that are just about blindness and blind issues, but rather shows that are skewed to the perspective of somebody who is blind. So, for example, if we're talking about technology, it would be something that would be relevant to the blind community. The idea of just producing a show was extended when we realized that, well, if we're able to create the show ourselves, we can probably do a better job with the audio description. So rather than produce the show and then put it on at the end, like is done now by producers, why not write the audio description into the scripting process? And actually, it's a bit like producing a radio documentary, if you think about it, so that all of the camera moves and intended shots and things like that are written in before the show is shot. And we came up with a name for it, and we called it integrated audio description. Now, we have to be very careful with this because our condition of license, as I said, requires 500 hours a year of original audio description. And this hadn't actually been identified yet by the licensing commission as something that was acceptable. The other thing that we were concerned about with was that if people who were watching the programs were listening and didn't hear the audio description, they might think, okay, this show doesn't have it. So one of the things that we did was we decided to test the idea in a focus group. We have a panel in Canada of blind and partially sighted viewers who volunteer to provide us with information in focus groups and in surveys periodically, so we can ask them questions. So what we did was we created two identical programs, essentially the same theme. It was a house sale show. So we're selling a house, and it's the one where the agent goes through with a young couple and they look at three or four different house designs and make a decision. So I think a lot of people are familiar with that format. But what we did was in the first version, we showed the house with the show with the normal audio description on that. So that was, you heard that third voice coming in and describing things that weren't described by the people in the frame. And then the second version, which was again identical in terms of what we were intending to show, we actually had the performers, or the I guess they were actors, although they weren't they were ordinary people, describe what they were doing. So essentially the agent would say, I'm going to set up the sign outside the house. So rather than in the first version seeing a visual of the agent setting up the sign and a third voice coming in and saying, she sets up the sign in front of the house, the agent herself has scripted that in and said, I'm now setting up the sign in front of the house. I'm now going to walk into the hallway of this large city home, and so forth. And the same would be true with the couple. Now, the idea behind this is that there's obviously a little bit of a tweak required for the person producing the show so that they're thinking about this as they're doing it. The end result is that we don't have the same amount of audio description required, and sometimes none at all, when the show is completed. So if we're doing it properly, there should be no required audio description, maybe the credits, but even these can be self-voiced by the characters if it's so appropriate. So anyway, we as I mentioned, we tested this in a focus group, and we were wanted to validate that this was going to work. As I said, that the missing audio description, or the perception that there was no audio description, what would that, how would that resonate with the viewers? And 90% of the people in our focus group felt, and we didn't say that this had description, it didn't. It was just listen to these two shows and tell us what you think. 90% of the people enjoyed the second version better, the one with the integrated audio description. And to go one step further, the 10% that said that didn't enjoy it or preferred the other version, preferred the other version because of the fact that they were aware that it had the audio description on it. Again, that thing that if it's missing. So although we've created something, I think, which is a more effective way of producing a show, we are still mindful of making sure that adequate description is provided throughout. So there's a vetting process in post-production that, in spite of how we create the show originally, our producers downstream on the post-production process will add audio description if they feel that there are still things that need to be described.
It's fascinating. Sean, you saw both. What did you think?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting idea. Some people do think that audio description is too intrusive, and especially if you're watching it with someone who isn't visually impaired. I think that's a good point. Some people don't always like to have it on when they're watching it with someone else, you know, another member of your family who isn't visually impaired. So this is almost audio description hidden. But it's a really interesting place to take it.
Yes, it's absolutely right. And one of the things that we're very mindful of at AMI is the quality of all descriptions. So this is not something that you're going to see on all television programs, because it has to be purpose-built for a show that is intended for an audience that is blind or partially sighted. But in the regular description that we create for movies and dramas and comedies, we're very mindful of the quality. So we always match the announcer with, if it's a child, we'll have a child voicing the description, somebody who has an English or North American accent. So we're very mindful of that. And we're also very mindful of the mix. So we're not stepping all over sound effects or musical cues. We do our very best to ensure that the quality of the audio description is something that complements the creative work that we're part of. And again, our panel is very much a part of validating that for us as well, because what they'll say is if the audio description isn't good, they won't watch the show. It's not enough just slapping on audio description. If it's not good, they won't watch it. And with more and more high quality audio description coming out by producers and broadcasters, and some of it's getting really good, it's raising the bar every day on what the expectations are of that quality. And I would like to add also that it doesn't cost a lot of money to create extra quality description. It's really about planning and being mindful of who your audience is and the creative property that you're working with.
You've been doing this for a long time, and you know, we see new kids on the block like Netflix, who have been here at TechShare Europe 2016, talking about the level of audio description they're hoping to achieve, the type of audio description, talking as well about the kind of ways that they produce audio description in the way, for example, of finding an appropriate person to voice audio description on particular programs. You must be sitting thinking, hey, we're ahead of the curve here.
Well, we're not sitting gloating. Our goal is, our mission at AMI, as I described earlier, we have a license that is there intended to reach people who are blind, and that includes making sure that they have access to quality programming. I'm very excited. We've met with Netflix here briefly, and Apple's here, and BBC, who we have a relationship with. We're very excited to start to connect the dots. Everybody in this business, the business of content creation, is now becoming mindful of the blind and partially sighted audience, and whether it's through legislation, through our respective broadcasting acts, or whether it's simply through the fact that we want to include people in our programs, that everybody is looking for solutions to try and make this work better. So I think over the next little while, we're going to see a lot more collaboration in the accessible side of content creation. It's not something that requires a great deal of money. Although it does cost money to produce audio description, really what we all have to do is get organized. And here at TechShare, it's really important that we're all running into each other, meeting and starting to talk. And what we find is we all have the same common issues, problems, and opportunities with making our media more accessible.
Well, I think you do a great job, and it was a pleasure to talk to you, John.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.